ancient, beautiful, and mystical India. An unlimited, unending source of fascination for people from all over the globe. India is also the birthplace of many holy masters who have shared with the world the paths to spiritual illumination. Geographically, India is very vast, covering an area of 3.3 million square kilometers, making it the seventh largest country on Earth. India is graced with the majestic Himalayas, the highest mountain range in the world. Often called King of the Mountains, it is revered as the home of the gods. The name is derived from Sanskrit, meaning the abode of snow. To the spiritual aspirants of millennia, the grandeur and elevation of the mountains are a constant reminder of the parallel glory and majesty of the human soul, and thus are considered to be of ultimate sacredness. In the early 1980s, profoundly moved by the ever-suffering in our world which she had witnessed since the time of her childhood, Supreme Master Ching Hai made a selfless and momentous decision to forsake the comfort of her personal life. Supreme Master Ching Hai's earnest quest for truth and enlightenment for the benefit of all beings culminated in her courageous journey in various parts of India and eventually the divine Himalayas. We now invite you to listen to Supreme Master Ching Hai's lecture entitled Master's Pilgrimage to the Himalayas, given on July 7, 1997, during a gathering with our association members in Los Angeles, California, USA.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
I have just discovered one very important thing. That is, if you don't sleep in the evening last night, then you will be very sleepy today. Do you know that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you sleep enough last night?
Yes.
I did. But it's okay. Today we went to the sea. What do you mean, oh? Huh? You don't know there's a beach around here? Do you go to the beach sometime? Huh?
Yeah.
You swim?
No.
Too cold, huh?
Yes.
I saw
yes.
A lot of people swim, you know, like today. It's so cold, I don't know how they do it. Well, I did it in the Himalaya before. But I never do it again. You know, in the Himalaya, it's the Ganges River. The most, sacred river of the Indian people. And it begins in the Himalaya, very high mountain. The place where the Ganges River first originates is called Gangotri, means the source of the Ganges River. And I went there. And the water just flowed directly from the ice. You don't see any more river, just water running from the icy cold mountain. And that's where the water came from first. And then you can bathe in there. A lot of people go there to take a bath, in summer. And then believe it, they clean their sin. I told you already, did I not? Yeah? No? Okay, so millions of people go there every year. Some of them die in between.
Before and after. But still, people like to go there to clean their sin. And normally they come there and just splash some water on their face because the water is so cold. It just came from the ice, you know, just a little bit, like zero degree. And the water just flowing ice. Because the sun of the summer, you know, melt the top of the snow, the top layer of the snow and of the ice. So the water will run down there and that is how the Ganges begin. And people go there and splash the water on the face, you know, or hand or thing like that, or their feet, So that they believe is their sins is clean. And I went there and did exactly the same. But then I thought, oh, then only my face and my hand are cleansed of the sin. How about the rest of my body? That won't do. So I jump in. Oh my God. Trời đất ơi, lạnh quá trời. I jump in and have to count to five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Then I have to jump out. Because then if you don't jump out after five, you never jump out again. And you will float out, you know? To the plane, like this. And become one of the many. Yeah, because in India, after people die, they don't bury. Nah? Mostly they will burn the corpse, huh? Or they just throw it in the Ganges River. First they burn it and throw the ashes in the river. Any river. Because the Ganges has many branches too. Hmm? And there are three of the source of the Ganges. One is Yamuna tree, the other is Ganga tree, the other is, never mind. Another tree somewhere. And mostly people in India, after somebody die, the living will burn them. The one who has money, their bodies will be burned by their relatives and friends until become ashes, and then they put into an urn, you know, box like this, and then they went to the water, big water like Ganges River, and throw it in. But some people don't have enough money, so they just throw it in, you know. And then after a while it becomes swollen and white, you know. So sometimes if you walk along too long, you know, along the Ganges River, because there are many roads along the Ganges River, and you walk too long and you're tired and you don't know where to rest, you just lay near the Ganges River, not too near, in water, they will rise up in the night, you know. And then take some of the body, you know, this still intact body and swollen and soft and white, you know, and make it a pillow. It's very soft. You try. Or you can meditate on it, you know. So when you go to India, there's no need cushions. Just go to Ganges, you know, the riverside, and pick any of your size or bigger size. And just sit on it. It's pretty soft. Soft and just, you know, spongy. And then when you sit in such a corpse, you feel in samadhi. I guarantee. Because you're too frightened to move. Just stiff like this. Yeah. A lot of yogis, they do that. Nobody is afraid of death in India. They will laugh at you if you're scared of death, nah? But for them, to die is liberation. You just go from somewhere else, it's better, and you take a rest. And if you want to come back to this world again, or if it is your destiny or your mission to come back, you will just come back. Yeah. No problem. And it is so. Of course, there's some places unpleasant, but most people go to pleasant place, like astral paradise, and then come back again. Huh? And when you die, the body has no more problem. It won't cause any problem to anybody else. The corpse is just dead, discarded kind of material. So nobody is ever afraid of death at all. You know that? No, you don't? Okay, go to India, get a cup, sit on it and ask it, should I be afraid of you? He said, mm-mm. And then you run. Yeah, it looks very bad sometimes if you happen to see some corpse which is half decomposed and half is still there, or half is eaten by dogs or vultures, you know, and half is still hanging around there. Yeah. Then it looks very ugly, huh? But when the corpse is still complete, you know, and fat and white and puffy, you know, it make a good pillow and meditation cushion. You can try. I guarantee satisfaction, money back. the rumor has it that because of so many, like decomposed body in the Ganges water, that's why the water is so pure. They say the calcium, you know, from those rotten bones or something, purify the water. So actually, there's so much garbage and trash and thing go into the Ganges River, but the water is really pure. You can put it in a jar for 10 years, it won't go rotten. It's just as it is, you know. They don't have like purified system in India, and they don't have a filter to make sure the water is clean even. No, they just drink like that, straight. Some people use cloth to filter, but some people don't. And sometimes a leprosy kind of center, you know, situated next to the Ganges river bank, on top of your river section, and people still go to the river there. And in India, sometimes they don't have a sanitary system, so everything just very freely go anywhere. And sometimes you happen to encounter, you know, yesterday chapatis on the road, you know, or milk, you know, under your feet, but in different form and different smell, of course, because it's been 2-3 days old already. Has been go through some filter system. So you just have to put up with it. Sometimes, you know, you think of Himalaya or Indian and some riverside as a very romantic, mysterious place to go to sit for meditation. When I went there the last of very last time, it was summer, and I went to the top of the Himalaya, you know where the source of mysterious story like Babaji, Yogananda, you know, teacher and all that came from. And I was dying to find a riverside spot to sit and meditate, you know, as is described in the book. You know, you have to do everything according to the book. It sounds so romantic, you know. The yogi sit next to the river, you know, on the bank of the river and all that, and forget everything, you know. Just be in bliss for a reunion with God. Oh God, I try hard. Because everywhere is, you know, 3-4 days old chapatis. And the smell is also awful, you know, just like 3 days old. You can't even find a place to sit next to the water anymore. And that was one of the holiest place in India and in the Himalaya. Because so many people go there every year, and that's why it become a little bit unholy. So sometimes the illusion and the reality don't match. We imagine a lot of things. So sometimes there are a lot of things that you don't know about the Himalaya. And sometimes a big snake, you know, as big as your body, cobra, you know, like rattlesnake, some what? And wear glasses, snake and all that. Oh, they look pretty impressive when they raise their head at you and say hello. Hi there. I don't think you should return the greeting. Either you stay still or you run fast. Well, it's not all that bad. In my house, there's only scorpions and centipedes, snow snakes. Snakes stay outside. But the scorpions, they are funny, you know? Maybe it's too cold or maybe they are lazy. They didn't bite me. But they did buy some neighbor. I think my neighbor's scorpion are more diligent than mine. Because mine never bit me. One time I sleep. Oh, this is another story. Later, okay. Okay, so my scorpions is, you know, they sleep with me. They sleep under the couch, huh? Not that I really have a couch, it's just a very rotten four-leg kind of, those ropes were made in the, from the bark of the trees and all that. And then they, knit them together and then hang on the four poles, you know, like that. And it's just like a hangmat. And then you throw your sleeping bag on it, zip it up and sleep. And then meanwhile, not that I have magical power, but I can see through the walls and the roof. A thousand of holes in everywhere. I call them 5,000-star hotel. And it's pretty cheap, yeah. And then the scorpion, of course, like to wander around, you know, through the halls, through the roof, and then sometimes drop on top of my sleeping bag and just stay there. And then in the morning when I wake up and say, "Ooh, what is that?" And he raise his head and say, "It's me." It's me, Scorpio. So I have to take, you know, one or two of them under the pillow or the blanket or under the table or under the chair or under the bed. Huh? Sometimes a lot, maybe 10 of them. And centipedes, you know. And take them together, put them in a jar, and then go out for a walk. And then find some big rock and take that, let them take refuge. And next day, others come again. Ah, every day I'm busy. Take care of these sentient beings. Mm. But there was fun because there's nothing much to do. That was in one of the houses, the mud houses that I stay. Why they call mud houses? Because they use mud to make the wall. You know, they just simple, you know, tie some piece of wood or something together, and then they put and they mix them with some kind of grass, you know, and then just pass it on the wall. And then when it dry, that's what it is. And of course, you know, when it dry, there are a lot of holes will appear, you know, because it's never enough. And of course, you can fix them by go out and find some mop and fix it up. Okay, so that's thing. That's one of those houses I live. Most of the house in Himalaya like that, if you even have a house. And sometimes they also rent a veranda to you. Like that kind of house already occupied. So outside of the house, there is a kemahing, veranda. Huh? Huh? Garage? They don't even have any garage. Huh? Veranda, huh? Come here. Okay. You can rent the veranda as well. It's cheaper. And you take your, you put your belonging in a corner, and you hang your mosquito net there, and that's where your house is. If you don't have a mosquito nest, you can rent. They will also rent you blanket, mosquito net, you know, and a warm stove and coal you can buy. Then you can cook something for yourself. But it's not much, huh? Mostly there, I just eat raw. It's too much to carry a lot of utensil around. And when you climb very high, you can't afford. There's no car, no garage, no train, no motorcycle. I don't never see any motorcycle climb the mountain yet, but there may be in the future. And not even bicycle. The only bus you can take is number 11. And it goes pretty slow. Especially uphill. Huh? And when you carry your sleeping bag and chapati flour, and, you know, kangbei, you know, cup, spoon, whatever. Everything very heavy. So the higher you go, the more stuff you throw away.
Peaceful viewers, thank you for your presence for today's episode of Between Master and Disciples. Join us again on Saturday for part 2 of our program entitled Master's Pilgrimage to the Himalayas. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for Animal World, Our Co-Inhabitants, up next, right after Noteworthy News. May divine love fill your heart and soul.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/BMD.